Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, when you use the code DNVR at signup, you'll receive some special offers like how a simple $5 bet on the Stanley Cup Final will get you $100 in free bets, win or lose. That's right, they're just giving it to you, straight up $100 in free bets with your $5 bet on the Stanley Cup Final. That's when you use code DNVR on DraftKings Sportsbook. I am your host, Patrick Lyons. Joining us today, as he does each and every week, host of the Drew Goodman podcast and the voice of the Colorado Rockies for AT&T Sportsnet. It's our good pal, Drew Goodman. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Not too much. Just enjoying a day off in Miami. So those are much needed, cherished, infrequent. So it's been good.
That's a good. It's a good place to have a day off. If you're ever to get one.
Miami is a good place to have a day off. There's plenty to do, and typically the weather is, you know, you're always going to get some rain. I was playing golf this morning, got some rain, kind of rained us out, but most of the time it's going to be sunny, hot, so you know, you mix in some pool and it's not bad.
Well, if we're talking about hot, we got to talk about our team. We got to talk about the Colorado Rockies. I mean, 3-game sweep of the San Diego Padres, coming off the heels of a sweep at the hands of the Guardians. We saw the Avs sweeping the Oilers. I mean, does Denver do anything other than get themselves involved in sweeps? The broom sales have gone through the roof here, it seems like, in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I saw you mention that, I think, on social media. The Guardians series, I thought, was very frustrating. The Rockies pitched by and large well in that series. It was like many of games we've seen, especially over the last 6 weeks, they can't hit. They can't hit the ball over the wall. I shouldn't say they can't hit. They don't hit the ball over the wall. And then the weekend rolls around. They end up hitting 8 home runs in the series, 3 Friday, 3 Saturday, a couple Sunday, a couple from guys who really needed home runs. Grichik ends up with a couple of 3-run home runs in the weekend. McMahon with a huge home run in the 8th inning on Saturday night. Elias Diaz, who's kind of moved into, at least last week he did, because Brian Servin was swinging it so well, he moved into a secondary role from a catching standpoint. He needed to, you know, bust out. He had a big hit early in the game to drive in a run with 2 outs and then hit a home run. So there were a lot of positives offensively, certainly, that came out of that series against the Padres.
I think all three of those guys that you mentioned, Grichik, McMahon, Diaz, it had been a month for all of those guys since they had last homered. So Grichik was exactly on the 1 month anniversary. So it's, you know, I think there's two reasons why they won. There are two stats I look at the series as for how they were able to come away with 3 wins. 8 home runs, 0 errors. Is one stat more important than the other right now? I think I know which way you're leaning towards, but for me, I actually think the defense is the more important stat right now for them, even though we know the power very much so is lacking overall.
That's an interesting question, Patrick, and I don't want to dismiss one or the other. They have to, in this day and age, you have to hit home runs. You really do. Especially if you play at Coors Field, they have to score runs. You're not going to win many games, as we all know, 2-1, 3-2 at Coors Field. They needed to hit the ball over the ball, out of the ballpark. It's something they thought they addressed in the offseason. Now, granted, the biggest name they signed hasn't played very much, and we hope to get Chris Bryant back next weekend in Minneapolis when they take on the Twins. But the other aspect that was alarming is the one you alluded to, and that's the fact that they played really poor defense the whole year, the worst I've ever seen in the time that I've been around the Rockies, which is most of their existence. And they, even in lean years, I said this to you before, Patrick, when we've discussed it the last couple of weeks, even in their lean years, and there have been plenty of years that where they lost more than they won. We understand that. And even in those years, typically they played good defense. You could count on them playing good defense. And you could also, most of those times, count on them at home scoring a lot of runs and hitting home runs. They were exciting, but not always good. And then this year, the last 6 weeks, they don't hit home runs, and they've played horrendous defense. So I understand where you're coming from there. To say one was more important than another, I think at the end of the day, they have to play better defense, but they needed to hit some balls over the wall and eight of them in a weekend against a pitching staff that's really good. I would lean this particular weekend, if I had to make a choice, I would lean toward the number of home runs they hit against a quality pitching staff.
San Diego now goes a full calendar year without winning a game at Coors Field. It's kind of strange how the Rockies just seemingly have their number. So that's kind of nice to knock them out of first place. Again, get some wins against teams above 500. Obviously, a lot of familiarity there in the division with the Padres.
It's one of those things where, I mean, we know San Diego is really talented, and they came into the series in first place by a half game over the Dodgers, and yet the Rockies always play the Padres tough. And in seven of the last 9 years, the Rockies have won the season series. Last year, I know they fell apart the last couple of months, but the Rockies were 11-8 against San Diego last year. Right now, they're 5-2 against the Padres. For whatever reason, they play well against San Diego. And I don't want to say for whatever reason, because we know the Dodgers are really good. They typically don't play that well against LA, right? Though this year in the first series of the season, they won 2 out of 3. So hopefully that continues also.
One of the areas that reared its head, unfortunately, I think it was at the beginning of the Cleveland series. Maybe it was somehow last week when they're on the road, was base running. There were some base running errors, from a couple guys maybe lacking a little bit of aggression here and there, whatever it may be. And I heard a stat recently that suggested that stolen bases are actually up across Major League Baseball from this point in the year as compared to last year. Right now, Colorado is tied for dead last in Major League Baseball with 13. And you look at the roster and you actually say they're pretty quick. Like, they've got some fast guys, or at least some players that, you know, aren't that lumbering. And it could quietly be one of those areas or one of those elements that, you know, maybe if they get a little bit more of an improvement from that, a few more stolen bases, a few more threats, whatever it may be, you know, who knows what that does to moving the needle. And maybe Chris Bryant helps do that a little bit more with the threat at the plate.
Well, let's delve into that a little bit. You make an interesting point. And the stolen base for most teams has gone by the wayside. We're not watching the 80s version of the Cardinals or the 80s version of Kansas City. There are some teams that are aggressive. I thought Cleveland, one of those teams that kind of somewhat of a throwback, because they know they're not going to hit many home runs. And they have an athletic team that runs well and it's not afraid to run. But you look at the Rockies and tell me who should steal bases. I'll ask you that and kind of have a discussion from there. Maybe refute what you're saying.
Put me on the spot. I mean, again, Garrett Hampson's the one true guy that you say.
But Garrett, right? And Garrett Hampson
he's
doesn't
not starting.
Every day.
Right, he's not starting.
And to Garrett's credit, he swung the bat and he had it interrupted for a few days with the COVID, or it really wasn't COVID. It turned out just to be a stomach ailment, fortunately. Garrett's been swinging the bat much better of late, but he does not play every day. He probably plays on average every third day.
And, that's about right.
So you have to get on base, and then there has to be, you know, a situation that calls for it. He's a guy certainly that can steal a base.
And his defense has been pretty good this year, especially in the infield. I mean, that's mostly where we've seen him, and that's short. I've been pretty impressed. How about this? I'll continue answering your question, but here's something that's a bit strange to kind of flip it on its head. Do you know who leads the team in stolen bases right now? Because I wouldn't have guessed this. I just popped it up.
Nobody steals bases on the team. So, you know, Charlie Blackman has like 2, I think, which may shock some people, and that may be the high water mark.
Yeah. Connor Joe right now has 3 stolen bases. So you got 2 from Hampson, 2 from Blackman, as you said. Iglesias, 2. Hilliard has 2. He, of course, wasn't getting on base very much. Grichuk, you think maybe you could get a little bit more out of, like, Jonathan Daza. You know, top of the lineup, he's getting on base a lot. Haven't seen a stolen base out of him or Brendan Rodgers.
In the scouting world, those guys are solid average runners. And I know Grichuk and Daza played center, and you think, oh, center fielder's got to be a super fast guy. They're not burners. They are, you know, athletic guys that get good jumps in the outfield. But Daza, if you look at his numbers in the minor leagues, they never suggested base stealer. Grichuk, off the top of my head, has never really been a big base stealer. Brendan Rodgers isn't a base stealer. Iglesias has never been a base stealer. Chris Bryant runs well, especially underway. But you want him hitting the ball in the gap and hitting it over the wall. He's going to be coming off his second, you know, back injury. The last thing I want him to do is get on first and you know, start stealing bases. So Charlie's going to be 36 in a couple of weeks, less than a couple of weeks. Connor Joe, you mentioned, has 3. He's not a flyer. They don't have guys who steal base. Sam Hilliard's now in AAA, and Sam be the first to tell you, yeah, he probably along with Hampson would be their best option to steal bases. But the old line is you can't steal first base, right? And unfortunately, Sam, you know, hadn't been getting on, and he was a guy also not playing every day.
Yeah, very true. I mean, I think overall, by the time we get to the end of the season, we'll probably see, you know, Rodgers and McMahon with their, you know, handful, their 5 stolen bases, whatever it may be, it'll get there. But the fact that we haven't seen it yet, you know, I don't know if there's something to that. It's just certainly one of those strange things to toss out there in general, and learning that stolen bases, you know, are up at least at this point in the year, as compared to last year. So, you know, maybe that does change a little bit. It's a long season. Bench is a little short, as you mentioned. So I think you've got to prepare for that marathon, right?
It's a situational thing for me. There are times where I'd like to see it. There's been some first and thirds lately, because I remember talking about it on the air, Patrick, that I would like to see the Rockies be more aggressive, where I really think that there would have been a decision to make whether to throw through or not, because you had pretty good speed at third. There was one the other day where you had, I believe, Hampson at third and an above-average runner at first, and the scoreboard dictated that you could run here, would not be catastrophic. It wasn't like the Rockies were down by 4 runs. I think the Rockies were up a run or two and could really apply some pressure. For me, it's going to be more situational. I do think when Ezekiel Tovar eventually gets to Colorado, that is an element of his game reading into what he's done at the minor leagues. Will it be part of his big league game when he gets here? Yeah, he's got to figure out a way to get on base and keep hitting like he's done. But he's the next guy that I could see going, okay, that's a guy that could be a double-digit base stealer, because he profiles as an everyday guy. And he's going to have really young legs and apparently pretty good legs too.
Well, you've got me excited now talking about these young guys coming up playing for the Rockies. So a couple of them here in the last week, Jake Bird and Sean Bouchard. Bouchard still yet to get on the board with his first hit, drew a walk in his first big league plate appearance. Jake Bird has had nothing but 1-2-3 innings, I think 2 strikeouts under his belt. What have you seen from these two young men who, let's face it, we all love those major league debuts. I'm actually working on an article that should be coming out Monday evening, all about debuts and some former Rockies and their memories of their debuts, some more auspicious than others. But it's been nice seeing those two guys get their day in the sun.
I think the first thing that, and I'm with you, Patrick, I get excited when somebody makes their major league debut. You and I love the game immensely. We realize how difficult it is for these guys to, you know, to be, as I like to say, the needle in the haystack that actually gets to play in a big league game. And I love Charlie Blackman. I'm going off on a tangent here, but I love Charlie Blackman's humility in that when he was recently asked about eclipsing the 10-year mark of service time, he said, heck, I mean, it's amazing to just be able to play one day in the big leagues. And so to look back and see that, you know, that he's had 10 years, I'm paraphrasing his own words, it's really remarkable. So when when a young man comes up, the first thing I will look at, I'm thrilled for them, and can they handle the nervousness and the adrenaline? In the case of Jake Bird, he was awesome. I mean, he's made two appearances, and Buddy's going to protect young pitchers and put them in a place where, you know, hopefully they can have success. And the heartbeat, though it's going to be going 100 miles an hour, maybe slows down just a little bit, because it's not like you're asking him to get a save against the Padres, you know, in a one run game. You're putting him in a benign type of environment, if there is such a thing in a major league game. And he did well. He threw strikes. Number one, he threw strikes, threw quality strikes, and he got all six guys, as you said. In the case of Bouchard, I thought he showed patience in his first at bat, spit on some pitches that were borderline, earned a walk. He hit a couple of balls hard. He didn't have anything to show for it, again, as you pointed out. But I thought, in looking at his numbers and in AAA, and there's some power in there, I'm intrigued about, you know, further views of Sean Bouchard.
It also helped that the comp that Bud Black gave was Connor Joe-esque, right? Corner infield, corner outfield guy. And so anytime you're being compared to Connor Joe, you say, all right, hey, that's a good ball player to be like. We could use a couple more like that. I think every club could. So I like that.
Yeah. And Patrick, one thing, and the beauty of the game, and you followed it for a long time, and I don't know if I can do this off the top of my head, but we always project. We're projecting in every sport. We projected football, basketball, hockey, baseball. This guy, you know, is going to be this, or here's a comp for this guy. With a player that has not done it yet at the big league level, you have no idea. They may not achieve anywhere near the success that some experts feel that, you know, player A could achieve. And there's also the other side of it. They may completely outdo whatever the prognostications were for that player. Yeah, I think he's going to be a, you know, fourth outfielder, and then he becomes a perennial all-star. That's happened. So you don't know until the player goes and does it. And we know, the other side of it, the amount of failure with guys that were really, you know, heralded through the draft and maybe even through their minor league careers, and it never blossomed to that level at the big league level. So let's see how Bird does going forward. Let's see how Bouchard does going forward. And that's part of the fun element of covering a team and being a fan of a team.
Yeah, that's so true, because I think back on Charlie Blackman and Corey Dickerson, how their careers kind of started around the same time. You know, Charlie had kind of gone up and down a little bit in 2011, 2012, and then 2013, they're kind of together around the same age. And while Corey Dickerson has had his, you know, really solid career, you know, hasn't had as many all-star game appearances, doesn't have the same cachet, you know, has bounced around from team to team. And so, you know, hasn't had the same career as the Charlie Blackman, even though they've started off at that same point. So you're right. You never know. You've already won that lottery. You just don't know if it's the big one, or, you know, a couple thousand bucks here or there, which you'll gladly take.
Yeah. I mean, Patrick, you make a wonderful point. I was not doing a good job of like throwing a name out there, but Charlie Blackman's that guy. You go way back, and I know that Danny Montgomery, and I know you've met Danny, and Danny's vice president for the Rockies, and he's been with the Rockies since their inception, and he and Billy Schmidt are tied at the hip. He's Billy's right-hand guy, and he's a really good appraiser of talent, and he loved Charlie Blackman going way back to when he was at Georgia Tech, and the Rockies, as we know, took him in the second round. So you can really love a guy and say, I think he's going to be a big leaguer. I think he's going to be a solid fourth outfielder. Nobody projected that Charlie Blackman would become an all-time Rocky. There's no way. There's no way you're sitting here and slamming the gavel down. Because if they thought that, he would have gone, you know, in the high in the first round, right?
I think what we learned from Charlie is you look at a guy and you say, okay, maybe this guy might not be a four-time all-star. But this guy with a gigantic beard and a mullet, does that guy become a four-time all-star? And then maybe you could have something. I think that's what Charlie helped unlock.
There's other guys. Theo Epstein's going to go to the Hall of Fame as an executive, right? As the orchestrator of the Boston Red Sox turnaround and won World Series titles in 04 and 07. He's going to, and then the end of the 100 plus years, the Curse of the Billy Goat, whatever the heck that was in Chicago, right? He's going to the Hall of Fame. Doesn't mean every move. We talk about this in the offseason. If you can bat better than 50-50, you're doing a really good job with your personnel moves. Well, DJ LeMahieu was traded to the Rockies with their other players involved. He's on record as saying, boy, I messed that one up, right? So you never know. They picked, who'd they pick? Ryan Theriault, and who was the other guy out of that they picked ahead of Mike Fontenot? In they picked those two guys in front of DJ LeMahieu, right?
Yeah, maybe Darwin Barney. Was that around the same time?
Yeah, perhaps? I think Darwin. Yeah, good call, man. So you don't know. That's the fun part of it. You don't know who is the next DJ, who is the next Charlie Blackman, who you thought, well, who's this guy? Is it Sean Bouchard 4 or 5 years from now? We go, man, Sean Bouchard, he wasn't on anybody's radar. What a player.
Game one, game two, and now game three was off the charts at the DNVR bar down on the corner of Colfax in York. We are only open right now for Stanley Cup final games. The doors open 3 hours early. We are packing it out. If you're a member, you know you're going to get that member size beer. You also get price breaks on the tailgates and party buses that we have going on all year long. You get extra raffle tickets at those watch parties. And guess what? Look, if you're not in the area of Denver, if you can't get down to the bar, that's okay, because you still get access to our members only Discord, where we talk about some things that we might not necessarily talk about on social media. You're also going to get all the great content covering the Broncos, Nuggets, Avs, Rockies, Rapids. We're doing it with Rams, Buffs. I'm sure I'm leaving out so much more than that, but you get all of those articles wide open, free access to all of that, of course, and that's for 50 cents for your first month to the dnvr.com. And if you want an annual membership, hey, you actually get a free shirt from DNVR Locker. Avs fans that you're out there, whether you were at the watch party or not, guess what? You're home for Denver sports coverage. That's us. We're partnering with a leader in sports merchandise and collectibles. It's FOCO, similar to Fort Collins, but it's FOCO. DNVR has teamed up with FOCO to secure your access to the best collectibles and gear around. Throw it back to 1996 with the newly released Joe Sakic Stanley Cup Celebration Bobble, or find your random FOCO's other officially licensed Avalanche gear. And if the Avs lift the cup in 2022, which we all know they're going to do, you can keep the celebration going alongside your squad with exclusive championship collectibles and merch. But the fun doesn't stop there. Check out their gear and merch for other Denver sports teams, including the Rockies' new Rockies City Connect bobbleheads. Yeah, they've got that and more. Head on over to FOCO.com and use promo code DNVR so you can save 10% off your entire order. You don't have to be a member. You're listening to this podcast, and some of you aren't members yet, and that's okay. Still, save yourself 10% off. FOCO.com. Same thing applies for Ivaca TV. Go to ivaca.tv/DNVR. And for $25 per month plus receiver, your price gets locked in for 2 years. No worries about contracts. You get it all. Besides great college coverage of CSU Rams and Denver Pioneers, you get Nuggets, Avalanche, and yes, the Colorado Rockies. It's AT&T Sportsnet. It's Altitude Sports. It's even the DNVR Sports Channel, so you don't have to go over to YouTube. You'll get it streaming right there on Ivaca TV. Go to ivaca.tv/DNVR and, as I teased, use code DNVR for $10 off your first 3 months. So now only $15 per month to start. Is the next DJ LeMahieu for the Colorado Rockies? On the pitching side, Ryan Feltner. He's going to get the start on Tuesday in Miami. Austin Gomber to the bullpen. Interesting choice there. But again, keeping all six guys around, because you just never know. It's a good problem to have six starters. But Feltner in the rotation, Gomber out. What was your take on that one?
Buddy wants to roll a five-man rotation. I think Buddy sees a lot of promise and a lot of upside with Ryan Feltner. I think that Ryan Feltner has accomplished and more than passed the test at AAA. So what is the point of having him make starts against, you know, Las Vegas and Reno? And that doesn't make a lot of sense right now. Gomber had not been great in three of his last four. I still think that the Rockies believe, I can't speak for them, but that they believe Gomber is a starting pitcher. And so it's for a period of time, however long it will be, he's going to work out of the bullpen. I'm sure it's disappointing. It gives him some time to work on some things, but you need quality. You need depth that you alluded to. And I'm intrigued by Ryan Feltner. We've talked about him before. Clearly, Buddy is intrigued by Ryan Feltner. And that's a guy, if you're a Rockies fan and you're looking forward and saying, all right, how are they going to build a championship-level team? It always starts with pitching. And you're looking at Ryan Feltner and go, okay, this isn't just a back-end guy potentially. He can be better than that. And so I do want to see him pitch every fifth day right now. That's how I look at it. But I also like Austin Gomber. I think Austin Gomber's made of the right stuff. I like his pitch mix, and I think he's a rotation guy, even if this is just a timeout, and we'll see how long it lasts.
That might be a bigger piece to this whole thing than anything that might need to be reminded to some people. Like, first and foremost, Feltner deserves a spot in the rotation. Great. But maybe even bigger, Austin Gomber's future on this roster is still as a starting pitcher. Yes, he was basically beaten out for a spot as the fifth man, and so he's going to take a timeout. I mean, look, Kyle Freeland was sent down to the minor leagues in 2019 to figure out a couple things, and that was more because of what maybe he wasn't getting done than the fact that there was somebody else in the rotation who had really taken his spot. So in this case with Gomber, okay, this is a little blip on the radar, but he's going to be counted upon as being a solid member of the rotation going forward. And if talking about the solid rotation of the outfield, as you alluded to, Chris Bryant coming back in Minnesota Tuesday, he starts a rehab assignment in one of his other favorite places. His first rehab assignment with the Isotopes, he was in Utah. His second rehab assignment, now he's in Las Vegas. It's kind of funny how those things end up working out. So it'll be important to keep an eye on that. But the fact that he's even in those games is obviously a really good indicator of where he's at with his health.
Yeah, and he feels like he doesn't need, a ton of at-bats. He wants to take his at-bats at the big league level. So he'll get two or three games, 8 to 12 ABs with Albuquerque. And then I'm sure Buddy in a perfect world will play him two of three games in Minnesota. That's assuming everything goes well. And I talked to Chris the other day, and I'm sure you did as well, that he feels pretty confident in the back right now. But you can't – he also pointed out that a Triple-A game is not a big league game. Doing drills, taking BP, even a simulated game against high block, running the bases, doing all of the baseball activities, it's not the same as there's 35,000 people in the seats and now you're facing, a guy who's really trying to get you out, at the big league level. It's different. And because everything's ratcheted up, it's a different stress on the body. But he feels like, he's taken enough time. He's really rehabbed this thing and that he's good to go. And I'm excited about seeing him play again. I do think that, Buddy will be cautious, initially. It's not like he's going to run him out there every single day. But as we were discussing, it'll be good to see him in Minnesota.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 days. And that could be the way for the homestand. They got the Dodgers and Diamondbacks coming to town after that. I know that's over a week away, but you look ahead on the calendar sometimes at those kind of things, as it were.
You know me, Patrick. I did not know. You always are that's why I read your stuff. That's why I listen to you, because I can always steal tidbits. I look pretty much day to day and who the next series is. So I know on this road trip, obviously I'm in Miami. So I know that the Rockies are playing the Marlins. I know that from here we go to Minneapolis. I did not look till the next week. I did not know it was I don't even know, is it Arizona and LA or is it LA and Arizona?
LA and then Arizona.
There you go.
There you go. And look, I stay on the ball. Like you said, I look day to day. I look in the past. I look in the future. And we're right in the middle here of Drew Goodman podcasts. I don't know who you've got this week coming up if it's a secret just yet. But I know last Thursday, only a couple of days ago, I dropped a great interview with Walt Weiss. Always great hearing him. Always great hearing new things that I hadn't realized. You know, he wins a World Series and you go, yeah, he had a parade. That's sure great. It's actually the first parade he's been a part of, not his first ring, but his first parade. And he talks about that briefly, and that was something I didn't know. You dust off a great pearl of wisdom that Clint Hurdle used to say all the time. Essentially, media's job is to second guess. His job is to first guess. And so it's a masterclass, the Drew Goodman podcast. I always love listening. I always get something out of it, multiple things. So that was a good one last week with Walt.
Yeah, I had fun with that one. I appreciate those sentiments, but Walt's a friend, and I enjoy conversing with him. He makes me laugh. I've always said people may not fully realize at home, he's a really witty guy and guy of great humility. Tough guy. I mean, he embodies a lot of the things that, and I really hope he gets another opportunity. He deserves to be a manager in the big leagues, and I hope that opportunity comes down the pike, next year if there's positions open, because he's good. He really is, and he learned a lot from managing initially at Coors Field and the Rockies, a team he still has great affection for, and he's learned a lot being in Atlanta and being next to Snitker and being around that environment again, because we all know he played for them. But there's some great stories in there. One of my favorite parts of that is, and people have to go back and listen, his overrated list, which he's been toting around for like 30 years, because players have a lot of idle time. And I was thrilled to be able to contribute, right? That made my week.
That was good. The ball launcher. So you had the product name. You were able to figure it out.
Chuck it. Dogs. Chuck it.
AKA yeah. A ball launcher is like, that's like the universal term. Like,
is that what it is? Okay. So I didn't even know that.
So I came up with one for another useless item. And okay. So this might not be overrated. This is just a useless item.
What do you got?
Just straight up useless. And I don't know. People don't really use them anymore. So maybe the rating is just right. Do you remember maybe early 90s aluminum can crushers? You put an aluminum can inside this device. It was almost like a shape of a C, not exactly. And then you pull this lever on the top and it would crush the can down nice and compact. Do you ever remember anything like that?
Vaguely. So it was like your own. You ever gone by the place where they demo cars that are no longer going to be, they're done. The car's life is over, and they smash them into like a tiny little piece of metal, which will better allow them to either recycle it or bury it or whatever the hell they do with those things. So that's the same thing with I've run out of room in my recycle bin sometimes. So maybe I need to search the internet and come up with the aluminum can crusher. Maybe it's not such an irrelevant item or overrated item.
That's a great point, right? Because you only have so much space. And if you want to get a larger one, the city might charge you more. And so, from the Ron Popeil and the makers of the George Foreman grill come the Drew Goodman aluminum can crusher. Let's go with this. All right. Are we going to Shark Tank? Are we going all the way, Drew?
If there's a buck to be made, I'm all ears, right? And we can listen, you came up, we could share. I got no problem sharing.
And we've got the commercial already, because you see the can and there it is. It's empty and it's taking up so much space. And then you pull the lever. And then, of course, you hear, you won't see that one for long. Boom. It's there you go. It's now it's gone. It's been crushed. It's in your recycling can. That's it.
Yeah, we're marrying it to some guy's broadcast line. Yeah.
Maybe this has legs. All right, I'll DM Mark Cuban. I imagine his DMs have to be open, right? He's probably looking for something to do. It's the off season, right?
Yeah, I haven't checked out the Shark Tank in a while. Cuban's still on there, right?
I think so. Yeah, they just bring in new people once in a while just to kind of make it interesting.
I wonder, because they invest in all these. How do they keep track of all of the different investments they've made through the years on the Shark Tank with every little product?
Someone's got a spreadsheet somewhere. The world runs on spreadsheets, and I love that. Do you got your guest for this week, or is it going to be?
You know what? I'm planning on talking to Daniel Bard. We chatted on the plane, and we're going to try to get together tomorrow. So there's a good chance that Daniel Bard, who's having an all-star first half, right, Patrick?
Oh, definitely. Very much so. Look, he has literally a light show that goes on. He lights up the radar gun. Can we officially make his nickname Light Show or The Light Show? I mean, that sounds nice, no?
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. I'm trying to think back. I'm not somebody that sits up and tries to come up with nickname. And I'm not saying that's bad if somebody does, but I think one of the ones I came up with, because for me, it's got to happen organically. And the one I think of is, remember when Seth Smith came up and, you know, during that 07 run and he'd get to pinch hit late at night, which is not normally the job of a really young, inexperienced player with the game on the line. That's the Jason Giambis of the world later in their career, or the Mark Sweeneys, who made a wonderful career out of being, you know, that guy who could come off the bench against a closer and, you know, hit one in the gap or maybe over the wall. But Seth Smith kept doing it late, and it was always late in games, breaking ties or, you know, taking a deficit and turning it into a lead. And I started calling him Mr. Late Night. Not that that's some clever thing, but somehow it stuck. And so he was Mr. Late Night. I don't have one for Daniel Bard. If you want to call him The Light Show, yeah, I mean, he does. He does light up a radar gun. But the one I say about him all the time, I'll probably mention this to him in the podcast this week, is he's a guy that'll roll out of bed when he's 80 and he'll be able to throw 98. I've never seen him throw less than 97. It's always like 97 to 99 with an occasional triple digits. You never see 94s, right? Never. You don't go, ooh, he looks like he's a little tired today. Everything's 97, 98, 98. Pretty wild.
He's not 36 years old with the mileage of a 36-year-old. He was sitting in a garage, and so he's pristine. I think, you know, despite his age, I think he still could have a good handful of years left in him, because, you know, he hasn't been worn down like a typical 36-year-old reliever. So there's some potential there.
Yeah, and I don't want to say it's early to get into this, because we're rapidly approaching the end of June, and I know all good, you know, reporters and hosts like yourself and myself as well, you're going to delve into the trade situation and, you know, what do you do and who do you dangle if for a lot of teams. And for the Rockies, Daniel Bard at the end of the year is going to be a UFA. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. And you probably could get, you know, something for him, something, you know, a prospect or two for him that's not just, you know, some down the road or fringy prospect. You could probably do better than that. You know, should they do that, you know, based on where the Rockies are right now? There's going to be questions attached to several players, but Daniel Bard is going to be one of those guys, because teams are always looking and can, you know, teams in contention are always looking for, you know, late inning arms.
No doubt about it. And with his ability as a closer, you know, obviously makes him, you know, that much more valuable. So make sure you have downloaded and subscribed to the Drew Goodman podcast, one of the most valuable Rockies podcasts around, and just baseball podcast in general. Great baseball podcast every Thursday that's dropping. Make sure you're following on Twitter at Drew Goodman 42. We still doing the cameo? We got to push that.
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while I'm asked to do a cameo and then I do a cameo. So yeah, we throw that out there. And, you know, we're trying to stay up to speed on those Avalanche also, like you guys do at DNVR. And so, I do my thing on the Avs also, but it's a fun time right now. It's great to see the Rockies play well over the weekend. The Avalanche, that's where I'm going right now to go watch game 3. And go Avs go, and hopefully the Rockies can continue playing well and swing it down here in Miami.
There you have it. at DrewGoodman42 and the Drew Goodman Podcast each and every Thursday. Big shout out to two companies with the word green in the title. Athletic Greens, Green Mountain Dental Group. Well, look, I start with Athletic Greens because that's frankly how I start my day. Yeah, I take one scoop of 75 high-quality vitamins, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, minerals, and adaptogens. Put it in a little container of water. Cold water is the way to do it. Tastes delicious, and it gets me starting my day off the right way. It's a micro habit that gives me big benefits. It allows me to have some of that mental clarity and alertness even before I have my first cup of coffee. It's super great, super easy to do, easy to use. I really swear by it. And right now, they're doing what they can to help you out when you go to athleticgreens.com/ROC. That's the first three letters in Rockies. But head on over there so that Athletic Greens can hook you up with one free year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D, as well as five free travel packs with your purchase. So if you're on the road, guess what? You don't have to miss out on your 75 high-quality vitamins each and every morning with Athletic Greens. And you shouldn't go without those general checkups on your chompers. Teeth have to be on point. Even if we're just talking about your heart health, yes, there's a connection between poor dental care and plaque buildup on your heart. There's a relationship to all of those things. And Green Mountain Dental Group is going to make sure that you don't have any of those health issues. We've had so many members over the years make the permanent switch to Green Mountain Dental Group. And coolest part right now is they're hooking you up with a product I actually use myself. Get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, and you'll receive that free Sonicare toothbrush from Green Mountain Dental Group, located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver. Super excited to also bring in on our show, friend of the pod. He was on once this offseason, long overdue, and boy, oh boy, did he cause a stir at Coors Field this weekend. Mac Wilcox of Purple Row. You might also know him as, of course, Cormac Battle. But Mac, what's going on, buddy?
I'm great, man. I'm stoked to be here. I appreciate you as always helping me out, man. You were great on Saturday, man. You were a tremendous help for me through that ridiculous day that I had.
I'll tag in from time to time, but for the most part, I just want you to run in. Give me the recap, because Mac, you got credentialed. I mean, I can remember my first day like it was yesterday. Not all the details, but in a weird way. I was living vicariously through you yesterday or Saturday. We were sitting next to each other, and I was just like, kept looking over. I'm like, oh, he loves this thing. Oh, yeah, I remember the first time I saw that. It was just the shit, as we like to say.
Yeah.
So what was going on? What went through your head?
It's literally exactly
press
that.
Box, the whole thing.
The whole thing, man. It was such a great time. Everyone was so sweet. Obviously, you were great. I can't say enough about Sam Bradfield, man. She is just the absolute best editor-in-chief of Purple Road. I couldn't do any of this without her. She was so helpful the whole way. Made sure I was taken care of. All y'all, man. You know, Danielle at the Gazette and Thomas Harding and Patrick Saunders. It was like a camaraderie that like anybody could walk into. You know what I mean? And just the feeling of being there. You know what I mean? I've only been writing for Purple Row for about a year and a half now. And, you know, in that time, I've obviously gotten a chance to work with a lot of really, really great people. But this is just kind of the culmination of that. You know what I mean? Like, this is something I really wanted to do for a long time. And so just getting to be there with all of you guys and getting to be with the pros, you know what I mean? Like, to, like you said, like, just kind of, I had this like out of, I was just telling somebody earlier today, I had this like out of body moment in like the third inning. And it wasn't even like right in the game started. It was just like, it was like midway through the game. There was like a runner on, and I'm just kind of right working on this game recap. And I just had this like moment where I'm like looking over, and I'm like, you're to my left, Sam's right behind me. You know, I'm looking down the line, there's Thomas and there's Danielle and there's Patrick. And then up behind me, it's like, there's Jenny Kavnar and Jeff Houston and the official MLB score. And I'm looking over Coors Field and I'm watching the plays unfold in front of me. And I got my laptop open, like my water bottle to my right. And I was just like, man, like, this just feels like the right spot to be, you know what I mean? So, this is obviously like the very first step. There's a lot of work to be done and a lot of work I want to continue to do, but yeah, it was definitely just kind of like that, like, arrival moment for me. And like, yeah, I was like a little kid, man. Everything was so different. The players were great. Obviously, they were so accommodating. They let me ask some, you know, questions of them that I think they were really, really great about answering.
And you were there like right away, right? Right as soon as the doors opened up, you're like, okay, I got the 26 man roster. Let's see. You were like Ash. You were trying to catch them all. And I feel like you were in the 20s. I think
the
you got
game
a lot.
Plan, it was a lot. Yeah. The game plan walking in that day was like talking to two or three guys if they were available. And like, I got like 10 interviews before I was like, okay, wait, what's happening? Like it just kind of became automatic. You know what I mean? Like the first one, my very first interview, which, you know, now is etched in my own little mind, is like talking to Brendan Rodgers. And I walked up and I was all worried. I was like, hey, Brendan, do you have a second? Of course, he's great. You know what I mean? He was like, yeah, man, whatever you need. You know, we had a conversation about his season, how he's doing and his career and all that. And then Chad Kuhl came over, talked to him, Charlie Blackman, Kyle Freeland, Chris Bryan, Jolyes Chacin, Brian Servin. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, like 45 minutes have passed. You know what I mean? And you're just like, oh, okay. And you look down at your phone and it's like, here's all these notes. And there's all these quotes that I've taken. And I was like, okay, that wasn't so bad, actually. You know what I mean? Like, that was actually a halfway decent, you know, little introduction. Then, of course, we go and talk to Bud Black, which was its own escapade, as you know better than anybody.
Yes. So that's again, we all know how great Bud Black is, and Drew Goodman says this plenty of times. Like, if you ever meet someone that's like, Bud Black, I don't know about that guy, you're like, what's wrong with you? Because he's just a genuinely a really good dude who cares about folks. And whenever somebody new comes in, at least that's, you know, a journalist, media, writing press, I should say, because sometimes TV people will come in kind of randomly on the holidays and they're just in and out, but it's like, hey, no, this person is probably going to be here a bunch. So let's get to know them. And so, yeah, you had your moment. Hey, Bud, this is Mac. And so as he typically does, he says, all right, give me a 60-second rundown, and then it proceeded to be good 5-6 minutes. I know for you it felt more like 15 minutes.
It felt like an hour.
But it was a while. You got put over big time.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously it was great, but like in that moment, you know, it was pretty wild because, you know, Bud asked me about myself and I just kind of told him, you know, my deal. I've been here for however many years. I've been working for Purple Row for a minute. I'm a musician, I'm a wrestler, and of course they really latched onto that wrestler thing.
They slammed on the brakes, screech. Go back a second there. Let's talk about that. And yeah, that was wonderful.
It was cool. It was so wild. That's the only word I can use is like wild, because Bud, like, you know what I mean? He wanted to know about the circuit and what promotions are around town and, you know, who you've been wrestling. Can I see what's your character? I was like, oh, I'm a marching band guy. He goes, oh, what's your name? I said, oh, Cormac Battle. He said, show me some pictures. I said, not right now. He goes, yeah, right now. Get your phone out. Let me see the pictures. I said, okay, sure. You know what I mean? And I was showing all the other guys. And actually, Jeff Houston came up and he had one of the more interesting connections I made. There's a camera operator for the Rockies who actually is a wrestler here in town as well. Shouts to Damon Ace if you're listening, which is pretty cool too. And so, yeah, man, Buddy was super accommodating. He really gave me the rundown when it came to just kind of talking about that wrestling bit and learning, like, you know, oh, you do the March Man thing? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. You gonna wrestle here soon? Oh, all right. All right. It's like, oh man, like he was so cool about it. He was great.
You making cities? We were talking babyface heel. Like he was keeping it kayfabe. Like it was pretty good.
He was, brother. We came in for the post game presser, and he comes and he goes, "How's your first day, wrestler?" And I was like, "All right, man. Like that's fine."
I did not get that. I did not get how is my first. I've seen a couple of people not get how is the first day. So he, you had made a memorable impression on him. That's so cool.
So, man. I had I know we got to stop top up, but man, like, I just can't thank everybody enough. Every single person. I thought about doing like a ridiculously long Twitter post to just like tag everybody, but that's not like feasible. So just like every single person involved, that you, obviously Sam, everyone involved with the Rockies, everyone involved with Purple Row. Like, it was such a great day. Obviously first of what I hope to be a lot more, many, many more. I want to keep doing it. I want to keep, showing up and just kind of building the resume and get my skills up. But yeah, I was telling my buddy early today, like, it pretty much could not possibly have gone any better for me than it did. I was really, really stoked to be there.
They got a win.
They did get a win, a late win.
Yeah. Yes. It was first win in the City Connect. So it was great. Last piece. Just standing there, on the dirt at Coors Field, watching batting practice, all that. What was that moment too? Just kind of soaking that in, empty stadium except you and the players.
It was really like, you know what I thought of was my dad, actually. Like, that was the moment I thought of my dad more than anything, just because, like, he is the reason I like baseball at all. You know what I mean? He introduced me as happens to so many of us, right? Like, he showed me baseball when I was a young kid. You know, we lived in Chicago, used to go to Cubs and White Sox game and take the train down to catch some Cardinals games at Old Busch Stadium. And I just remember, like, you know, man, this is so wild. Like, 25, however many years later, like, I'm standing here in a Major League Baseball dugout, walking up onto a Major League Baseball field, you know, after having conversations with Major League Baseball players, going to talk to managers, and, like, just, you know, commiserating with media. Like, this is kind of the culmination of all that. And that was just, that's what I was thinking. I was like, my dad was just like, man, like, this is all, you know, this is only possible if you have something like that to show you what it's like and to show you, like, why you should care about this game. So he was geeked when I gave him a call later on. I called him the next day because we got out of there so late. But I called him the next day, and he just wanted to know, like, every single individual detail. You know what I mean? Like, he was so excited. I know he's, like, my biggest supporter, reads all my stuff. My mom as well, both my parents, man. Like, they're just – they're the best. And we're recording this, spoilers, a day after Father's Day. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's just that's the biggest one for me, was that moment specifically of being on the field. Like, if being in the press box was my, like, I've made it professionally moment, being on the field is my real, like, kind of emotional, personal moment. You know what I mean?
That's wild. And you were even talking about your grandfather too. There were a couple things that came up. We're like, oh yeah, my grandfather taught me this thing and that. So it's totally. Again, and that was before. It's a day before Father's Day. And so maybe it's on your mind, maybe it's not, but it's just interesting how coincidental that can be. All those things kind of coming together right there on that special day for you and a big moment. And it was cool. We loved having you there. And we know you do a great job over there in Purple Row. We'll have to link one of your articles to this podcast. So wherever you're listening to this, look below so you can check out a little bit more about our buddy, Mac Wilcox. He's in the queue, man. He's in line. Look out.
I'm going to do a lot more of those. That is not going to be the last time y'all see me there this season. I'm going to try and make it a pretty consistent habit for sure.
Well, as I said, you know, Rockies ended up getting a big win there, hit three home runs on Saturday night. No errors. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a team where when they play their best, you go, hey, this is a potential postseason caliber club. How much did the three-game sweep against the Padres, how much did that do for you coming off the heels of a three-game sweep at the hands of the Guardians?
Yep. Well, especially because the Guardian series, I think a lot of people would agree that that was a pretty ugly series in a lot of ways, right? Like, the hitting didn't, you know, do what you wanted it to. The pitching was kind of up and down, but especially the errors, a lot of defensive miscues, even plays that weren't necessarily errors, but were just some of the, like I said, those defensive miscues. You see those plays sort of happen that you think back on later on when you're down a run or two in the ninth, and you're like, man, like, if we gotten that out, you know, one pitch earlier, we avoid that, you know, extra base hit with scored a run or whatever it might be. But like you said, like, when the Rockies play clean baseball, when they do what we know this team is able to do, they look like a contender. And obviously it's tough to say here. We're in the middle of June. The Rockies are still a pretty solid number of games out of first place. But, you know, in the combination, even taking just that one game on Saturday that you and I are at, you know what I mean? Herman Marquez pitches a very strong start, followed by some timely hitting with runners on base for home runs. It's just crazy to think that, like, the Dodgers are 15 games, we're recording right now, 15 games over 500, and they're, like, the best team in baseball. Like, they're unbelievable. Nobody can touch them, all that, right? The Rockies, for as terrible and bad as people are going to say they are, whatever, they're 7 games under 500. It's not like they're in the cellar, right? They're not, no offense, but they're not like the Pirates, and they're not like the Tigers. No offense, like, but it is what it is, right? Like, this is a team that, you know, definitely is not the upper echelon of that division, but there is so much talent when they're locked in. I mean, that was a complete performance. Even the bullpen, like Daniel Bard and Alex Colome and Jolius Chacin, and until he was hurt recently, Tyler Kinley, like, these are guys that are absolutely shutting down the late innings for the Rockies. And there are definitely pieces and steps that they need to take in order to contend for the playoffs in the short term. But that series against the Padres showed that when they're on their A game, they can play with anybody. And in a 162 game season, one win is something, but three wins in a row, that's 10 wins in a row. Now they've beaten the Padres at home. That's not nothing.
Yeah, it definitely highlights their potential. And that potential obviously is only going to increase with Chris Bryant set to come back during the Minnesota series. We'll see what happens with, you know, Ezekiel Tovar maybe getting to dip his toe in the big league water with or without Jose Iglesias. We'll see what happens with him at the trade deadline regardless. But that potential seems like it should be go a tick north with the return of Chris Bryant. Now,
Harris Montero's on the big league team. You know, he's waiting for an opportunity too. There's a lot of pieces right there.
And he's got that power, which we know is what the Rockies are kind of lacking a little bit right now, and something that Buddy wants. So Montero could be that guy. Now, we'll see what happens in Miami. They start a three-game set on Tuesday. Early games, 4:40 on Tuesday and Wednesday. So we'll have post-game shows after both of those live on YouTube on the DNVR Sports channel. Thursday, also have a post-game show, but that's a 10:10 a.m. game. You might still be celebrating, quite possibly, after a four-game sweep of the Stanley Cup Final. Maybe it's a little too soon to dig into that. What has been your feeling on this series in Miami? Do they take two out of three? Are you happy with one? Because typically, Rockies don't play terribly well in Miami.
Yeah, I would be happy. I would be very happy if they were able to get two of three, of course. You get a winning series out of a team, like you just mentioned, it that they've really struggled against in their past. The Rockies, especially this season, after starting pretty solidly on the road, the Rockies have really struggled in recent series on the road. So if they could get, you know, the bats going a little bit, like the starting pitching on the road has not been bad. I would say it's not been, it's not quite what we would expect of, like we said, like maybe a playoff caliber team, but the starting pitching has not been bad. It's more just getting that offense going on the road, which of course we talk a lot about, that Coors hangover, maybe that rest day, right, between the Sunday and Tuesday, having that Monday off to maybe get some at bats, do some BP before the series begins might be helpful. I believe the Rockies are going to duck Sandy Alcantara in that series. I don't believe he'll be pitching, so that is a win. Not that you want to shy away from competition, but, you know, the guy with the second best earned run average in baseball as we record today, it's probably better that they don't go ahead and play against him. So that'll be helpful. I would definitely consider 2-3 to be a huge victory for the Rockies. While I don't think that, you know, that is something that they could consider like a grandstand success, I just think that it's those little things playing, even though the Marlins aren't necessarily a playoff team either. It's just like going into enemy territory, taking 2 of 3 from a team that you've struggled against mightily in the last few seasons. It's got to be a huge morale boost for those guys.
Winning series. Like that's what it boils down to, is just simply doing that. Yep. On Tuesday, you got Ryan Feltner now in the rotation, Gomber out against lefty Daniel Castano. On Wednesday, Chad Kuhl against Pablo Lopez. And on Thursday, Kyle Freeland against Braxton Garrett. Battle of left-handers. And by that point, Kyle Freeland should be nice and recovered from going to Game 3 in Tampa Bay on his private jet. Not his private jet, but a private jet nonetheless. So glad he's having a good time. Two guys that, you know, we know fairly well here in Colorado that I think had a good time seeing each other. And we were talking about this before we started recording, that I don't know that this blew up a ton on Twitter in the Rockies world, but Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story were back together again. Of course, Nolan with the St. Louis Cardinals, and Trevor, they're hosting Nolan in Boston over the weekend. And I really just saw like one picture of them getting together and hugging. Look, we kind of saw that last year a little bit to a degree, where Nolan first came back to Coors Field and Story in St. Louis. So we knew they'd been together, but now officially seeing them separately like that is strange. And so I don't know. I'm curious what was your take when you saw those guys back together wearing, you know, the rival uniforms that we almost a couple of years ago would have guessed, that could never happen. Or if it does, that's a nightmare. Doesn't seem like it's the same nightmare we probably maybe all made it out to be originally.
Sure. Yeah, you guys tweeted that picture out at your DNVR Rockies Twitter page. Great shot by, I think it's Craig 40. It's really interesting. It's almost like, I don't know, like, I guess it makes sense that they're taking it during BP, but it's kind of like a Renaissance painting. It's just the two of them with like all these open red seats behind them. You know what I mean? There's just very little. They're so clearly the subject of the shot. And I think you're right. I don't think it's as big a deal as it used to be. Of course, those kinds of wounds are going to be fresh for a lot of Rockies fans, especially, you know, there's a lot of players that have left Colorado. We don't have to go into all that. We both know about it, right? Everyone listening to this knows about that. But like, I think it's one of those things you look back on and you can kind of remember fondly, like, yeah, like there's a lot of great years with these two guys in Colorado. And sure, would we prefer that they were probably still in purple pinstripes? Of course we do. But we just spent, you know, the last few minutes talking about, we just both named off like multiple prospects that are on their way. And how about that? Elijah Montero is a third baseman. and Ezekiel Tovar is a shortstop. You know what I mean? And that's not to say in any way, shape, or form am I saying that like the expectations of those two are the same as these two star, you know, all-star caliber players. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that like what we once thought, or maybe what people once thought was like the downfall of the Rockies organization from the top down, we look back on as, you know, a bummer to lose those guys, but it's not like all is lost. We can look at something like that. We can look at a picture of those two guys fondly and remember all the great times and also continue to look to the future of the Rockies from within. They're not bereft of all prospects or all, you know, futures. I mean, shoot, even right now, Jose Iglesias is not doing bad. You know what I mean? Jose Iglesias has not been bad for the Rockies on a one-year contract. He's got one of the highest batting averages on the road. Not a lot of players on the Rockies can say that they hit that well on the road over the last few seasons. Ryan McMahon's doing his thing. He's had an up and down season at third base, but Ryan McMahon also signed an extension, has made clear he wants to be here for the future. And, you know, if the conversations that you and I have had with him, which is a thing that I can say now, that you and I've had with him recently are, you know, to be believed, he believes that he can be somebody that is a legitimate contributor to the Rockies on offense and defense every single day at third base. And if not, like we said, Tovar and Montero, as well as other players in the Rockies farm system, can come up and fill those spots as well. So that's my long-winded way of saying that I think that that picture is poetic and really, you know, kind of nice to look at in a sort of fond way. But as a Rockies, you know, fan first and foremost, I also look at it as like, that is the old, and we are here in a new generation of Rockies, right? We have a new identity and a new team, and we have to see how that's going to come together and form itself.
And we're going to be okay.
Yeah, right? We will be okay.
We're going to be okay. Right. I love how you tied that in. That's a great point, is sort of like the more things change, the more they stay the same, because sure. You got Tovar, you got Montero. We'll see, of course, if he does stick at third base versus right. Moving over to first, whatever it may be.
Right.
But you're right. It's like it almost makes me think maybe I have Jurassic Park on the brain. You know, right? Jeff Goldblum, life finds a way.
That's
and
right.
It's kind of right. Found its way. You go, hey, look at that. They've got the replacement by hook or by crook. Is it luck? Whatever you may call it. But there's always going to be those new players, you know, stepping up. And so the Rockies will be all right, and certainly after the deals that Arenado and Story have gotten for themselves, they're going to be okay too. I mean, now they've got the kind of money where they don't need to just look on the calendar and say, hey, this is when I'm going to see you. They're going to hang out at the All-Star game more than likely a couple times over the next few years. And then, you know, on vacation, they can just buy an island off the coast of Cancun or something like that and just totally. Just hang out there. Why not?
Why not? That's exactly right. Yeah. It's obviously they've got a good relationship, so I'm glad to see them. Like at that point, in that aspect, I'm glad to see that they're still able to stay the boys that they were here in Colorado. That's pretty cool, if nothing else.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Mac, let them know where they can follow you on social media.
For sure. So you can hit me up at all social medias conceivable, including TikTok, if you believe that, at Cormac Battle Pro, which is at C-O-R-M-A-C Battle Pro. I, you know, talk a lot about, obviously, Rockies baseball and wrestling and music and all kinds of stuff like that. So hit me up anytime. Always love to talk to people.
That's awesome. I'm at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter, and for all of our Rockies content, at DNVR_Rockies. Mac, appreciate you coming on. Again, if you want to check out some of his work, go down to the podcast description. You'll see a link there for that. It's been great. It's been wonderful. But you know what they say about momentum? It's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you then.